Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7. I desire that we read from the verse number 36 to the verse number 43. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, number 36 and on. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon through the help of our Lord. And now before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts in prayer to the Lord. Heavenly Father, great is thy goodness and thy mercy. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. None of thy promises ever failed. All thy ways are righteousness and truth. All thy judgments are unmistaken. And thou needest not, O Lord, that a man would testify to thee. For thou knowest perfectly clearly what is in the hearts and in the minds of men. Thou hast given us this holy word of thine that is strong and sharp. Thou knowest, O Lord, even our secret thoughts. And even before we know what is coming to our mind, thou knowest all. O Heavenly Father, thou grant us that goodness and grace of thine to walk before thy holy face in this awareness that we are walking in thy holy sight. That all that we do, everything that we say, and even what we think, everything is open and known to thee, O Lord. And knowing that, O Heavenly Father, as we look into thy holy word, and as we see how thou art perfect in everything, we are reminded again and again of our many shortcomings, many mistakes. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we trust in thy goodness and mercy. And we acknowledge before thee that we are not worthy of the name that we are named with. that we are not worthy of thy calling, O Lord. And yet, we believe that thy calling is without repentance, that thou wilt never regret. For even though we are so weak and so inadequate, so insufficient, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, thou hast given us a fountain of life and a pillar of light and a continual purifying atonement and the grace that sustaineth our soul, that abundant heavenly treasure thou hast given to us in Christ, thy Holy Son, our blessed Redeemer. And so, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we worship thee with gratitude from our weak hearts. And we praise thee from the depth of our souls, O Lord, for thy goodness and mercy that is following us all the days of our pilgrimage. Gracious Lord, thou grant us to be mindful of our mistakes and shortcomings, of our imperfections, when our enemy comes to accuse our loved ones, when the enemy would like us to be the judges of one another. Thou make us true and faithful disciples of the Savior to be the helpers of one another. Thou grant us, O Lord God Almighty, that ever-loving, merciful and forgiving heart, so that we desire that goodness and mercy of thine that we pray for continually to be granted, to be abundant to the souls that are around us. O Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, thou keep us from taking thy goodness, thy grace and thy mercy light-minded. Thou keep us from taking thy goodness and thy mercy with a light mind, easily and cheaply. Thou make us aware that grace which thou hast given us in Christ has been paid for with the precious blood, with the great sacrifice, with suffering beyond description. Thou give us, O Lord, that godly fear and that respect of thy holy name, obedience to thy commandments. Thou make us faithful to thy ordinances, and thou teach us, O Lord, to take every advice of thy Spirit, thy guidance and thy instruction, as very precious as it really is indeed. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, keep us from all evil. Keep us from the pollution of the world. Keep us from every form of idolatry. And thou grant us purity, holiness, righteousness, meekness and modesty. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, to be obedient, and in our obedience to be faithful to thy word, and in our faithfulness, O Lord, to be zealous for thy name's honor and glory, that in nothing we would give of thy holy seed to the idol of human pride. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, may that seed of life, this blessed gospel which thou hast given us in the Savior, be the foundation of our living and the goal of our striving. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, to walk in that true godliness, continually to worship Thee and to honor Thy holy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, if in this calling that Thou hast called us with, on the path that Thou art leading us on, if we are going to have but a few or none of the human friends and supporters, if there be none to agree with us, O Lord, Thou grant us that we live in harmony with Thy holy word, and that we think of that great number of Thy faithful ones, those that sometimes walked all alone, and yet never all alone. Those that were persecuted, despised and rejected, and yet always having fellowship in Thy Spirit, O Lord. O make us Thou the faithful stewards of the goods that Thou hast entrusted to our stewardship. But Thou knowest, O Father, that we in our own strength, in our own knowledge and understanding, can do nothing. So Thou give us the strength and wisdom of Thy Spirit. May Thy Spirit dwell in our hearts and rule our lives. May our life, our pilgrimage, be a continual testimony of Thy goodness and grace, O Lord. O make us strong in this holy faith. Fill our hearts with Thy love and compassion. Fill our days with the deeds of charity and loving kindness. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, proclaim Thy holy gospel and save all those for whom Thy precious blood has been shed. Thou, O Heavenly Father, purify the hearts that Thou art calling. Sanctify the souls that Thou hast redeemed. Thou unite Thy people, O Lord. Deliver Thy inheritance. Thou destroy the works of darkness. Thou defeat the enemy. Thou, O Heavenly Father, reveal the beauty of Thy holiness, the brightness of Thy truth. Exalt the name of Christ. Gracious Lord, in everything that we do, may Thy name be worshipped and honored. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, all that we need to know, and always keep us in that awareness that we of ourselves are nothing, and yet that we should not fear the enemy, for it is Thy good and pleasant will to give us the kingdom. O may Thy kingdom come, and may Thy will be done, for Thine is the kingdom, and power, and glory forever and ever. Amen. With the help of our Lord, I desire that we read the remaining verses of this chapter 7, Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 7, from the verse number 44. Let us read to the end of this chapter. Luke 7:44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. When the child Jesus was brought into the temple to be circumcised and to be recorded in the books of the Israelites born in Israel, then Simon, or Simeon, a faithful, godly man, a servant of the Lord, came also to the temple. And took the child in his arms. And among the other very, at that moment, mysterious words, he said that this child is sent to reveal the thoughts of many hearts, hidden thoughts. And not only that, but we see through the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he is revealing what we, being limited in our understanding, could not have seen if he did not reveal to us. And here also, in this story that we read, which is part of the gospel history, not a parable, but a real event that happened, not to mention that some of the parables are so real, perhaps more real than the event that happened physically among the believers nowadays. We see here that one of the Pharisees desired our Lord to come and receive, enjoy hospitality of this Pharisee. And even though the teaching of the Pharisees was so contradictory against the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord went and accepted that hospitality. The Lord went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And I suppose that there were quite a few other Pharisees. But then, let's think about that story that the Lord told to the people. What shall be said to those that will gather on that day, great day of judgment, the day of great separation? What shall be said to those on the left-hand side? I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. And now the Lord is in the house of the Pharisee, and he is eating a meal, and probably his disciples, at least some of them, are with him. I would think so. And so there is something to think about, really. To whom did this Pharisee offer that meal? To the Lord, or to himself? Pharisee thought it would be an honor for himself to have a prophet in his house. So the reason the Lord answered this invitation, in all probability, would not be to satisfy Pharisees' desire for self-exaltation. The Lord had another reason. This Pharisee is going to be confronted with a truth that he needed so much to learn about. As the Lord with the other visitors, guests, and perhaps some of the Simon's household was together, and they all together were around that meal or table, enjoying the food that was before them. Behold, a woman in the city, which was known as a sinner, knowing that the Lord Jesus sat at meat in the house of the Pharisee, brought an alabaster box of ointment. That's some kind of a perfume. Very costly. Very expensive. Perhaps something that was kept for very special and very important moments to be used. We know that the priests were anointed with oil, and so were the kings and the prophets. On the day or the time of their ordination. So this was somewhat different. The anointing was not done by a dignitary of the city, was not done by a priest, nor by prophet, not even by a famous rabbi, teacher of some kind, religious of course. But this anointing is done by a sinful woman. At least most of the people in her city apparently knew that she was a great sinner. So perhaps those that were so conscious about rules and traditions, and perhaps even very conscious of the law that was recorded in the Word of God, in the Holy Scriptures, they might have even tried to explain by this fact that the woman was very sinful, that she anointed the feet of our Lord, not his head. Well, I would think that the woman was so embarrassed of these holy and officially pure Pharisees that were there. And yet, this woman must have had a great desire to do something to the Lord that was not done by the Pharisees, by the self-imposed holy and righteous men in Jerusalem. Did this woman realize that Pharisees are not honoring the Lord but dishonoring God? I don't know. Only, I think we can clearly see that it was not an easy thing for this woman to do what she wanted to do, and yet her desire to do it was so strong that she did it anyway. So, she came. She came from behind, so that she wouldn't have to look at the face of him whom she wanted to honor. She came probably in such a way that neither the Lord nor the others that were around the table could have seen her face. She was embarrassed. In her embarrassment, she was very humble, meek. Now, was this woman a meek sinner, a humble sinner? Probably not. Sinners occasionally may be humble or humbled, but usually sinners are either proud, like Pharisees, or rebellious, like Barabbas, or the other thief on the cross. So, at this moment, this sinful woman, or we could say sinful human, was humbled because she was coming to touch the feet, probably dusty, unclean feet of someone who was walking on the roads, through the streets where there were rocks, there was dust. And yet, as she touched the feet of the Lord did not move his feet away from her. There was no rejection. And the woman was moved. As she touched the feet of the Lord touched her heart. And before this woman will pour the ointment and spread the fragrance in that room, before she would pour the ointment on the feet of the Lord, she started weeping. And it was weeping like rain. Her tears were just pouring down on the feet of this holy man. And the tears mixed with the dust. And the feet of the Lord looked more unclean. But then she got hold of her own hair and wiped his feet. And then something that might have been so ugly in the sight of the Pharisees, this woman kissed the feet of our Lord. Still, the Lord is not moving. He is quietly, without any resistance, accepting this expression of humility and gratitude of a sinner that is not sinner anymore. The Lord does not look at this moment at the ceremonial side and the traditions of the human society, or that, or perhaps we could say church or organization, religious group called Pharisees. The Lord is looking, and his sight goes much deeper than human sight. The Lord has a deep insight into the soul of this human being that is purified, made free from sin. The Pharisee, which had bidden him, is looking at that too. And all the others probably are paying full attention. Perhaps the usual conversation around the meal or during the meal time stopped. Perhaps there was silence. It's possible that all the eyes were focused on the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but more on that woman, because she's a sinner. And now, human thinking is streaming through the mind of the people. And Simon is thinking within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman she is that toucheth him. She's a sinner. Simon was looking down at this woman and was so busy in that he didn't stop to think for a moment, am I, Simon, worthy of this visitor? Remember how Peter said when the ship was filled with fish? Peter cast him down at the feet of the Lord Jesus and said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Simon is not thinking about himself. He thinks how sinful this woman is and how unholy this prophet is, if he is a prophet at all. Now, the things that the Lord did before didn't matter at this moment, were not important to Simon. This was important. This man allowed this sinful woman to touch him. I wonder if someone ever wanted to kiss a foot of a Pharisee, if the Pharisee would not stop and lift up his foot to make it more probable, just to get some recognition, some honor. But the Lord was apparently motionless. And as the Pharisee is thinking this way, focusing on the sinfulness of another human being, the Lord is going to pull away the curtain and reveal the poverty of Simon's heart. This is going to be the reward for inviting the Lord to be his guest. Simon is going to hear some truth. He might not like it, but it's very important that he not only hear, but also understand and receive this truth. And the Lord is starting, apparently, or at least that's how it sounds to me, very gently, very mannerly, with reverence and respect toward his host. And the Lord says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And Simon replied, just as mannerly, kindly, with reverence. Simon answered, Master, say on. This is almost a conversation on a royal level. Like the mother of Solomon, when she came to him and she said, I have somewhat to ask of thee. Do not refuse. And Solomon answered, ask, mother, I shall not deny it. Well, he did. The asking was unexpected and unpredictable for Solomon. But here, Simon said, Master, say on. And the Lord starts one of his short stories. Short, but great, filled with truth. The Lord said to Simon, and of course the others are listening, but the woman is probably continuing her work. She's still weeping, she's still wiping the feet of the Lord with her hair, and very soon she's going to anoint the feet of the Lord with the perfume. And the Lord said, as the others are listening, there was a certain creditor, which means a man that has some wealth, some material possessions, some money probably. And this one had two debtors, two other persons to whom this creditor lended some money. One of the two owed 500, whatever the money was, and the other 50. The ratio is 10 times. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? As the text is divided by numbers to verses, this great story took only two verses. And now is the turn on Simon that he would answer. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that the one to whom was more forgiven. And somehow the story was presented in such a simple way that only a simple and logical answer could be given. And the Lord answered to Simon, thou hast rightly judged. Simon has rightly judged in words, but not in the thoughts of his heart. He misjudged there. You see, that was the problem of the Pharisees. In any century, any generation, in the days of our Lord's preaching in Galilee, just as much as today, Pharisees, or in other words, trained, learned, educated hypocrites. They know how to say the things rightly, but they are so educated that they are not able to think rightly anymore. In their thinking, they are wrong. At that moment, the Lord turned to the woman, and the Lord is looking at the woman, but the Lord is talking to Simon, but really, the Lord is talking to this woman too. Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Simon, wouldest thou ever humiliate thyself so much? Of course not. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Such a humble love. It was a sign of respect and courtesy to offer a water, and it was a sign of respect and kindness to wash the feet of a guest. It was a sign of kindness to greet the visitor with a kiss. And if that kiss was from the heart, it was a sign of love. There was nothing of that kind. Simon kissed himself when he invited the Lord into his house. And as they sat around that meal, Simon was continually honoring himself. Simon is a Pharisee. In other words, he's a human who takes lightly God's goodness and mercy. But then the Lord say, more common. Ointment was very costly, very precious. So the Lord says to Simon, not even that lesser respect thou hast offered to me, anointing my head with oil. And how much greater is this honor that this woman had given to the Lord, anointing the feet of the Lord with ointment. And then the Lord says, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. How canst thou see that and know that, Simon? Because she loved much. But since that love is not in thine heart, much is not forgiven to Simon. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. You see, when we think about somebody whose repentance was in a way limited to a few words, like, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and then go on in a way that is not much different than before that. That's taking lightly the goodness and mercy of the Lord. And the Lord turned to the woman and said, thy sins are forgiven. Well, the Lord did not say to Simon that human tears or an act of humiliation or sacrificing a very costly ointment can obtain forgiveness of sins. No, that's not the teaching of the Lord. But the Lord pointed to such a sharp contrast between the signs of insufficient forgiveness, lack of awareness of sinfulness and the need for forgiveness, and the true repentance. Yes, the weeping and the tears and the humility of this woman that was a sinner indicated that the goodness and grace of the Lord is falling upon her soul and her sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat, all the Simons, all the Pharisees, began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? You see, they reject the forgiveness of the Lord. They really rejected it. They didn't accept that. So the Lord is not talking to them anymore. They refuse to hear, to listen, to understand. But the Lord is talking to this woman that, oh yes, she does understand. What she needed so much, she has received. And the Lord said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. How great is God's goodness and mercy to open his treasure and to take that gift of faith and give it to a sinner. And then to bless that faith, so that that faith will move in action. Come to the Lord and bow down and pour out from the depth of her heart a confession of sins in tears and sighs, a heart grieving over the sinfulness of its own. And then we see that that kind of repentance is an ointment to the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we read somewhere in the old scriptures, how beautiful are upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that bringeth the good news, the gospel of salvation. And so the Lord who gave this faith, the Lord that gave the guidance and strength for this deed, he also gave a true and clear testimony, forgiveness. And then he blessed this soul with peace. And he said, go in peace. And I believe she did. For the Lord knows what he is doing. He makes no mistakes. Any one of us that are ever thankful, yea, even grateful to the Lord for his goodness and mercy, for his forgiveness, could any one of us say that we did anything on our own? We are aware that he gave the faith. He gave the goodness and mercy. He gave forgiveness. And then he gave that peace. To those that believe, we read in the beginning of John's Gospel, he gave the power to be the children of the Heavenly Father. May that power be continually supplied. May the goodness and grace of our Heavenly Father upon our souls and all the souls that he has redeemed and delivered, may that goodness and grace be like a stream, like a river of life, flowing and moving our hearts always closer and closer to him. That every day of our pilgrimage be like a step closer to that blessed eternity. Well, if we have difficulties, if there are tears and sighs, if there are battles and sufferings, as long as we know that the Lord is leading us to that blessed eternity, that he has given us that love of his to unite us in his spiritual peace and true holiness, Nothing is too difficult. The burden is not too heavy, because it is with his strength that we are bearing the burden. And his comfort, that peace of his forgiveness and joy of his salvation, is sufficient to make us aware of the truth that the joy and peace is in his kingdom is like an ocean of happiness. So nothing will remove us from the hand of our Lord. The hand that has created the world, the hand that was nailed to the cross, the hand that was lifted up in blessing as he was departing in the flesh from his disciples. After he told them, "I am with you always, to the end of the world, to the end of times, and then forever together with the Lord."